God.
God bless him.
My father.
God bless him.
My father.
God bless him.
And it's waiting.
God bless him.
And it's waiting for you.
God bless him.
And now I wonder tonight.
God bless him.
Is there anybody else here tonight?
God.
God bless him. And it's waiting on you.
God bless him.
It makes no difference.
God bless him.
What condition you think you are in tonight.
God bless him.
God has got a blessing.
God bless him.
He's got a blessing for you.
God bless him.
You may be sick.
God bless him.
Look like you can't get away.
Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Oh God, you are awesome. We can see your awesomeness in the sunshine, in our hearts and in our minds. Father, as I stand before you and your children, and sinner, if there may be one here, speak to me and through me, that your word will go forth, your word will touch your heart, and we'll be leaving better than when we came, because we heard from you. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray, amen. God is good. I also want to thank the ministers of music, the choir, and many of you and our deacons and our deaconess for traveling with us to Leesville on last Sunday. We had a great number and Mount Zion was well represented. But I messed up. I got the times mixed up and we had to stay there an extra hour. So we took names of everybody that come and we took pictures. And we're gonna give them gumbo. Now, if you try to stagger in, we've got the pictures and we've got the names. You're welcome to come, but you have to pay for your bowl. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Before we get into the text, teary-eyed because of Paul Cowboy fans. And my heart is with you. We'll continue this conversation after church. You have to smile here. I like smiling here. Because again, as I echo what I witnessed on yesterday, hearts are heavy. You got to come here and at least get a smile. Church should be that safe haven regardless of what you're going through on the outside. Even if the world is making you frown, something should happen in here to make you smile. The book of Exodus, chapter 14. Very familiar passage of scripture that God has placed on our heart this morning. Exodus chapter 14, commencing at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You want to talk on this thought, watch God work it out. Thank you, Urshas. Watch God work it out. In the science of biblical interpretation, there's a study that's called hermeneutics. And in that science of biblical interpretation, in the realm of hermeneutics, there lies many principles. But one of the principles is the principle of first mention. This principle states that how a subject is used when it is first mentioned in the Bible determines its usage throughout the Bible. So in our text, the subject that is used is the land of Egypt. And if we would apply the principle of first mention to Egypt, we have to go back to Genesis 12, 10 through 20. It is there you will discover that Abraham walks out of the will of God and he goes to Egypt and experiences some negative consequences. So therefore, the first time Egypt is mentioned in the Bible, it is mentioned with a negative context. And if we apply the principle of first mention to Egypt, and it is first mentioned in a negative context, then when you hear the land of Egypt, regardless in the old or new, it will always be in a negative sense. My brothers and sisters, Egypt is a type of world. Egypt was a place that held the people in bondage. Egypt was a place that had an evil tyrant. Well, they were making bricks without the usage of straws. Egypt is where people was enslaved and mistreated. And my brothers and sisters, you and I have our own personal Egypts. I wish I had somebody to testify. You ever been in a place where God wasn't pleased with you? You were in a place where you were enslaved to that which captured you. But you ought to celebrate God today, because that which captured you, you've been delivered from. And oh, my brothers and sisters, as they stayed there for 400 years, waiting on a deliverer, look how God did it. Moses' mother gave him up, floated him down the Nile. Egyptians found him. He was raised and educated in the Egyptians' law and Egyptians' manner. And they had no idea that they were educating and training Israel's deliverer. Oh, y'all, the captives was training the deliverer. And oh, who say God can use somebody that used to be low down? Who says that God can't use somebody that used to be a drug addict or a drug dealer? Who are you to say who God can't use? Because when we look at Moses, all we talk about is the good Moses did. But you didn't know Moses was a murderer. You didn't know Moses was a fugitive. And while he was on the run, God called him to deliver God's people. And aren't you glad God don't have pickers and choosers? Aren't you glad he don't have any respect to persons? So with the help, God used Moses to go down and deliver the message that the Lord says, let my people go. And after the 10 plagues, ending with the riding of the death angel, whose homes were not protected by the blood of the doorposts, the firstborn would die that the death angel would ride. And just as the blood covered the doorposts, the blood of the Lamb of God covers you and I. Aren't you glad you covered by the blood of Jesus? And so here, my brothers and sisters, we need to understand that there are things going to happen in life that you're not going to see coming. There are things going to happen in life where you have to say, I didn't do anything to deserve this. I didn't do anything to welcome trouble, but hell is still all around me. I know you're shouting, and I know you're running, and I know you're praising God, but underneath it all, you still got to deal with some stuff. I'm looking at some of you sitting prim, proper, and correct. You've been in here praising God since you walked in. You've been raising your hand since you've been in the place, but yet you're still dealing with some stuff. But aren't you glad that the stuff you're dealing with can't hinder your praise? The stuff you're dealing with can't stop you from worshiping God. Why, preacher? Because he's been too good to me. That stuff that I'm dealing with, I left on the outside. I came to Mount Zion this morning to lift him up because he deserves to be praised. You didn't do anything wrong, but wrong found your address. But before you throw in the towel, wave the white flag, sound retreat, recall, and surrender. I come to tell you God is setting you up for a blessing. I say God is setting you up for a blessing. When you look at the U.S. FDA Food Administration, before it hits the shelves, it has to be inspected and approved. And then it hit the shelves. You're going to see where I'm going. Before you go through trouble, it has to come by God first. God has to allow it. And if God's allowed it, then he's already made my way out of it. So when you're going through trouble, don't focus on the trouble. Pay attention to the way God's going to get you out of it. Because nothing going to come your way unless God allows it to come. And aren't you glad that you serve a God that sometimes he picks you up, but sometimes he has to knock you down to get you up. Sometimes he has to lay you on your back to stand down on your feet. Sometimes he has to blind you so you can see. Sometimes he has to shut your mouth so you can praise. God works in unorthodox ways, but when it's said and done, you will stand up on top. I wish I had somebody that can testify. Say, preacher, I know what you're going through. I know what you're saying. I went through some stuff and didn't know why I was going through it, but before it was over, I'm glad I went through it because it made me, I was bitter, but now I'm better. And I don't need to be cheerleaded in the praise now because I walked in the door with my hands raised and with a praise on my lips because God's been good to me. Here they are. After the riding of the deaf angel, Pharaoh tells Moses, get you and your people, get out. Get them all out of here. And then as they left Egypt, they were marching. They were shouting. They was praising that the Lord is good. They were glad to pack their bags, get their beasts, old as well as young. They were marching, following Moses, out of Egypt on their way to the land of promise. But as they marched, as they praised, they found themselves on the shore of the Red River. Red Sea, excuse me. They went in Alexandria. They had two mountains, one mountain on each side, Mount Belsapalm on one side, Mount Farahara on the other. And there they were encamped at the Red Sea. They were sitting there a while. And while they were sitting there, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. Now, to understand that God didn't make Pharaoh do evil. Let me explain that verse to you. Pharaoh's heart was already hardened. What God simply did was backed off Pharaoh and allowed things to rehearse in his mind. Can I bring it closer to the young people? Pharaoh was sitting on the throne and said this, y'all, I got played. And I'll be doggone if I'm going to let slaves make me feel like this. So he gathered all of his chariots, his men who were experts in warfare, and they said, we will pursue them. And here they are encamped at the Red Sea in between two mountains. And then out of nowhere, they started hearing chariot wheels. They start hearing the thumping of the horses. And when they looked behind them, they saw Pharaoh's army closing in. Step out there with them. Here they are, Red Sea in front. Mount Baal-zephon on one side. Mount Farhara on the other side. And a hostile, raging army closing in from behind. They were boxed in. And my brothers and sisters, I'm quite sure that you can testify there are times when life boxed you in. You had no direction. You couldn't go front. You couldn't go back. You couldn't go to the left. You couldn't go to the right. You were just boxed in. Can I help you? Sometimes God boxes you in because you're looking in the wrong direction. He shuts the front off. He shuts the back off. He shuts the left off. He shuts the right off. Then the only direction you got to look now is, I wish I had some, I would lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help, because all my help come from the Lord. Here they are. They're boxed in. Pharaoh's mad. He's closing in. Look how they treat old Moses. You done brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Kirk, I'm confused now, because when you left Egypt, you were praising, hollering about the Lord show is good. And soon as you get boxed in, you start blaming the preacher. Let me say it again. You were praising God, oh, the Lord. And soon as you get in trouble, they went to the preacher. And they told Moses, wasn't there enough grave space in Egypt? You bring us out here to die in the wilderness? But what they failed to realize, while they were focusing on Pharaoh closing in, they should have been focusing on, if God can handle Pharaoh while he enslaved us, I know God can take care of us while we free. Oh, y'all don't get what I'm saying. When alcohol enslaves you and he still brought you home, I know he can take care of you right now. Is there anybody can testify and say, preacher, he took care of me when I was a slave to something, and now I've been liberated, and I know he'll take care of me. Yeah. Here they were, boxed in. My brothers and sisters, your trouble, your sorrow. Can I help you? Write this down. God will work it out, because your dilemma has a deadline. You going through it, but you're not going to always be in it. You speak your deliverance and you don't even know it. When people ask you, how are you doing? And you say, child, I'm going through something. You not say, I'm stuck in something. You say, I'm going through something. You, in other words, you're saying, I'm in it, but I'm not going to stay in it long. The next time you see me, I'm going to be out of it. How many done been in it and God still took care of you? He took care of you before you got in it. When you got in it, he took care of you, and he brought you out, and he's still taking care of you. Because your dilemma has a deadline. How you know it has a deadline, preacher? Because Romans 8:28 says, for all things work together for the good of them that love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. See, while I'm in it, I know what I need to do. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My dilemma has a deadline. Here's your praise cue. Your sorrow, your circumstance has an expiration date. That means God allowed it to happen, but one day it has to expire. And God is going to set you free. I can't speak for men in here, but I've even preached heavy burden. Well, preacher, I don't remember that day because you didn't see it. Because when I came in the presence of God, I didn't pass out pity party invitations. I came in here to give God what I owe him. I came in here to give God what he deserves. And when we walk in God's presence, he deserves our best. Regardless of what you're going through, you ought to praise God even while you're in something, because your dilemma has a deadline. I'm in it. I don't know how long I'm going to be in it. I don't know how long I'm going to cry over this, but I know one day crying days will be over for me. They were in a dilemma. They were boxed in. They were in a dilemma. And they were discouraged because they had no idea that their dilemma had a deadline. They thought what they were going to experience was final. Here they were. They were afraid. And Moses went to God and said, God, what is it that you want me to do? God answered and said, Moses, what you got in your hand? Same rod I had when I went to Pharaoh. By that same hand and that same rod, you're going to be able to deliver God's people. See, you're looking for deliverance, and sometimes it's right in your hand. See, if you got this in your heart, you got all you need that can deliver you. So now, not only is your dilemma has a deadline, but then watch this. Number two, your deliverance will be on display. Watch this. Pharaoh's army closing in. Look what God did. He tells an angel. He dispatches an angel, the cloud that was leading them. He told the angel to put the cloud behind him. That regardless of how fast Pharaoh was coming, when they got to the cloud, they couldn't go no further. Y'all missing what I'm saying? Can I bring it a little closer to you? See, Pharaoh represented Israel's past, and their past was trying to catch up with them. But before the past can catch up with them, God stood between their past and their present, held their past off and said, no, I brought them too far for you to bring them back down. How many can testify and say, preacher, I got a dark past? If they knew about my past, they wouldn't let me be a deacon. If they knew about my past, they wouldn't let me sing in the choir. If they really knew what I did in the past, they wouldn't let me in the pulpit. And every now and then, my past try to catch up with me. But God stands behind me, puts his hand on my past, and push me in my present. Aren't you glad that he can put his hand?